and we're here for Memorial Day, and I appreciate you on a holiday meeting with me today.
Hey, listen, it's Memorial Day, and obviously that's a severe national holiday. My dad was in the Navy, so I can appreciate Memorial Day and the sacrifice that obviously our soldiers gave for this country, but this time of the year, I'm too busy to have a day off, so this is fine.
It is peak season. Baseball, sports are kicking. It's summer. Everybody's getting out of school. So
yeah, well, for what I do, the bunch of different things, but the main two things, the CEO of the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame, as well as the owner of the Baton Rouge Rougarou, our Hall of Fame induction weekend is the last weekend in June.
Okay.
And then our Baton Rouge Rougarou summer collegiate baseball season starts next Tuesday, June 3rd. So we're to now until probably about the second week of August, no days off.
Zero. And so I wanted to get into the Louisiana Hall of Fame because until recently when we had the luncheon and everything, I did not realize that you were the president in charge now of Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. And I have to confess, I just learned where it was located.
Yeah, sure.
I was thinking it was, I'm thinking the LSU Hall of Fame. I didn't realize we have an amazing facility. It's in Natchitoches, correct?
Right. Yeah, that's part of my challenge, as a CEO is to educate people on the Hall of Fame exists and where it's located.
Yeah.
And before I took the job in September of 2016, I had never been to the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame personally.
Okay, so I'm not the only one.
You're not the only one. They don't feel bad about it. But now if I ask you 5 years from now and you haven't gone, well, we got a problem.
I'm coming for the induction.
All right, good. But the thing is that people ask all the time, well, why is the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame in Natchitoches? And the answer is that Natchitoches said, we'll take it. The Hall of Fame started in the late 50s. By the early 70s, the Hall of Fame was looking for a home. It basically was only a banquet once a year, honoring those years inductees. And they would do the banquet in New Orleans or Baton Rouge or Lafayette. And so Natchitoches stepped up and said, hey, we'll give you a home here on our campus at Northwestern State. And nobody else was willing to do that. I don't know the logistics of who said no, but obviously they would have loved to have been in New Orleans or LSU or Baton Rouge or something like that. But it went to Natchitoches, and so that's why it's been there since the early 70s.
And for people who aren't locals, where is Natchitoches?
So Natchitoches is located between Alexandria and Shreveport, right on I-49, probably from the Mississippi River Bridge in Baton Rouge, 2.5 hour drive.
Yeah.
And it's literally almost about halfway between Alexandria and Shreveport. So if you ever find yourself on I-49 and you see that Natchitoches Manny exit, it's literally 7 minutes from the exit to the door of the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame.
Yeah, so it'd be a great stop on the way to Shreveport or up heading towards Dallas. Like, I know I've made that drive a dozen times going through to Dallas, and so you pass right by there.
Yeah, it's open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 4:30 p.m. is the hours, and year-round. And obviously the best time of the year to go to Natchitoches are two different times. One would be during the Christmas festival, which is from Thanksgiving until the first of the year.
Okay.
For folks that have never been to Natchitoches, that's what the whole city exists for. I mean, the Christmas festival is incredible. Places all lit up like North Pole for 8 weeks, 7 weeks, whatever it is. They have fireworks every Friday night. They have parade on the first Saturday of the year. The Christmas parade's got 40, 50,000 people at it. It's an amazing time. So I would urge you to go to Natchitoches. It's like a Hallmark movie.
Yeah.
The Friday before Thanksgiving all the way to January 2nd is when the lights are up and everything. And then the Hall of Fame induction weekend, the last weekend in June. Traditionally, that's the weekend. We've had it some other times to accommodate, some of our big stars. But it's traditionally not last weekend in June, and those 3 days, it's a lot of fun.
Have you been inducted to the Hall of Fame?
I have not. No, I have not.
Not yet, right? Not yet?
I have not. If it's based on my athletic career only, then no, I will not be in the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. I was a decent pitcher and was fortunate to be on a couple LSU baseball national championship teams in 91 and 93, but didn't do near enough to deserve to be in Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame.
You don't think? I guess that's up for debate, but you got to be humble. It's good.
It's true. I mean, the thing about Louisiana is that it's a little state, a little over 4 million people, but I would put the talent and athletics in this state, in all sports, not just football, baseball, basketball, volleyball, rodeo, bass fishing, sailing.
We forget about some of those.
Right? I would put the talent in this state up against literally any state in the country.
Yeah, per capita especially. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Yeah. So the what is the induction ceremony? What are they going to be doing there?
So the the induction is really like six events in one weekend. The 26th through 28th is the Hall of Fame induction dates. That Thursday, the 26th, at the museum from 5 to 7 p.m., the museum's open to the public, absolutely free. You get to come in, see the Hall of Fame, meet some of the Hall of Famers that'll be there with their families, because the press conference will have just ended at 5 o'clock. And they'll have past hors d'oeuvres and complimentary drinks and stuff as well. So, I mean, free food and drink, and you meet Hall of Famers, and you get to see the museum. How's it any better than that, right? And we couldn't do it without the Capital Federal Credit Union, one of our big sponsors that put on that event. On that Friday, the 27th, one of the fun events we have is it's called our Celebrity Bowling Bash, which is in Alexandria. It's the only event outside of Natchitoches that weekend.
Okay.
It's in Alexandria. It's from 11:30 to 2. It's at the Four Seasons Bowling Center. And we have not only the current class, but past Hall of Famers, some other celebrities. And it's always themed. This year it's a Mardi Gras theme. And, you know, we have music playing, you know, probably Joel Satoon, go DJ. He's up there spinning. We have walk-ons, caters the food. It's a lot of fun. And it's fun for the whole family. You can bring kids to it and all that kind of thing. So, you know, that's a BOM Bank puts on that. And you can get all this info at lasportshall.com. And then that night, we have a Rockin' River Fest. We have a concert that's free to the public on the riverbanks of the Natchitoches. Fireworks at 9:15. Kids Zone. Louisiana Propane Dealers does this big inflatables, and they bring out Miss Louisiana, and she signs autographs and meets people. So that's a lot of fun. And then at the same time that's going on, we got a Taste of Tailgating VIP event. We take over three restaurants across the street from the stage, and we have that going on. Saturday, we got a 300-person kids clinic that's free to the public at Northwestern State. We have a Tim Brando of Fox Sports does a luncheon. That's a lot of fun, really casual event. And then, of course, the induction ceremony itself that Saturday night, the 28th, which will be televised live across the state on LPB.
Louisiana Public Broadcast. Like a blast.
Yeah.
And what's the 300 kids? What is that?
So it's called our junior training camp.
Okay.
It's the first 300 kids that register. I mean, it's literally free. We give you a T-shirt. We give you a Raising Cane's meal voucher. The Hall of Famers are there. The Northwestern State football team is there. The Northwestern State basketball team is there. And so for 45 minutes, half the group works basketball drills and skills and camps and all. And then the others are on the field doing football stuff.
Oh, cool.
And then they switch. And, you know, so you get a chance to be coached by Nick Saban and Andrew Whitworth, you know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
Or in basketball, Vicky Johnson, a great Louisiana Tech WNBA star. Danny Granger played in the NBA, you know, from New Orleans. They're all going to be there, along with past coaches and Hall
so
of Famers.
That's so much fun. Is that already full?
It's not. There are a few spots available, believe it or not.
My 12-year-old, I need to sign him up then.
Go to lasportshall.com, sign up right now.
Jennifer, if you're listening, get Asher registered before they fill up.
That's right.
That'll be awesome. I had, like I said, these are like the things, part of me, I love doing the show and going to business and meeting local, you know, business people like yourself and local, I mean, everything that goes on in Louisiana, we don't always know what's happening.
Right. It even happens to me. I mean, as much as I feel like I'm tapped into what's going on, there's plenty of times that, just like you, where you see on your thread, oh, that was last night. I didn't know about that. I didn't know. You know, there's a million things going on.
Yeah, you get busy with work. The other day, I told my wife, Saturday night, we're going to see Rob Snyder. And then it was Friday night, and I missed the Rob Snyder was at the River Center. And I just looked at the calendar like 2 weeks in advance, and I looked at the date wrong. And I saw people posting pictures at the Rob Snyder show the next day, and I went, we missed it.
Right.
So, and the Rouge hat. So I learned a new word the other day. What in the world, for most people, what's a Rougarou?
So a Rougarou is a mythical swamp creature. You know, it's every culture has that Bigfoot.
Yeah.
You know, or
I remember like Hispanics, it was like Chupacabra.
Exactly, like, exactly. And basically the Rougarou in Louisiana, if you grew up down the bayou, you know, Thibodaux, Houma, Morgan City, all that area, you know, your mama probably, your daddy said, you know, your mama said, you know, you better go to bed or the Rougarou's going to get you, you know, or you better be a good boy, you better be home by the sun goes down and the Rougarou's going to get you, you know. And so It's just kind of an urban legend, mythical swamp creature thing. And I actually bought the team, the baseball team, the Baton Rouge Rougarou, which is a summer collegiate wood bat baseball team. So the easiest way to explain it is think minor league baseball, but with college players. And all these guys are in college everywhere from junior college, Delgado, LSU Unis, Baton Rouge Community College, all the way up to LSU and everywhere in between. And so we play in June and July every summer. And our season starts in a week, June 3rd, which our first game is absolutely free to the public. Gordon McKernan's a big sponsor. He's picking up the tab for everybody. Everybody gets a free ticket. We're going to have Lathan, the kid umpire, out there working the game and doing autographs. He's like 10 years old. The umpire's unbelievable.
That's amazing.
We're going to have the Cajun Ninja Chef is going to be in the house cooking up some jambalaya. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
And where is that at?
That's going to be at Pete Goldsby Field. It's on Foss Street, right downtown Baton Rouge, next to Memorial Stadium. So, you know, where Catholic High plays football and all that. Memorial Stadium been there for years. It's literally, I don't know, 500 feet to the right of Memorial Stadium. It's this old baseball stadium that was built in the 50s. It's got a lot of history. Southern University used to play there back in the day. You know, Baton Rouge Community College plays there now.
Yeah.
And then it's the home of the Rougarou in June and July.
So these are active college players. Yep. Just getting more playing time to try to get better basically in the off season.
So when their season ends, which obviously other than 64 teams that were announced today that are playing in the regionals, their season's over with.
Right.
And then of those 64 teams, only 16 are going to be alive after this weekend.
Right.
And so all those kids are going to go play. So when the season ends at any level, about half the players go play ball. And the reason they're playing is to get better, just simply to get better. Plus, who wants to play? Baseball's fun, right?
Yeah.
And you only get a chance to play baseball for so long. At some point, somebody says, hey, it's over.
Usually tells you it's over.
Yeah, give me your jersey. You're not playing anymore. So, the number one reason where guys should play is just because they want to play.
Yeah.
But then you got guys that are trying to get drafted by the pros, or guys that are they're in a transfer portal.
Right.
That are trying to show out so they can get picked up in the portal. There's a lot of reasons.
As a former high-level collegiate player, how hard is the switch from a aluminum to a wooden bat?
It's real.
It's got to be a major change.
It's hard. There's a lot more give in an aluminum bat, right? You don't have to hit the ball perfect. You get some help. A wood bat, there's the sweet spot is much smaller on the bat where you can hit the ball and be successful.
And is it a lot heavier?
It's heavier. So traditionally, like when you watch LSU play, traditionally you're going to see a guy swing a 33-inch, 30-ounce bat. And in college, and what we do, that 33-inch bat might be 32 ounces.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't seem like a big deal, but it is.
It's a lot. If you've ever worn boxing gloves and go from 10 to 12 or put on the 16-ounce practice gloves, a few ounces is a lot.
It's real. And so it's a learning curve. And look, it's just like anything in life. As you take the step up to the next thing, as you're going up in competition, as you're getting older, whatever, sometimes guys take off and sometimes guys go down and sometimes guys just stay still.
Right.
And, you know, the wood bat is the great equalizer.
I bet. Yeah. I bet. And you get better pitching, and now you don't have the aluminum bat.
Right.
So that's
why, our batting averages in our league, like, for example, LSU's hitting over 300 as a team. Like, their team batting average, I think at the moment, might be 310 or something like that or whatever it is. Our team batting average in our league, like if you had the best team batting average in the league, it would probably be 270.
Right.
265, you know, something like that. 270 is probably the best. And that's 40, 50 points lower than a good college, real good college baseball team because of the wood bat factor.
Oh, I'm sure.
Well,
I can imagine. So people want to go see the Rougarou. Is that where y'all play on a regular basis?
Yeah. So we play 24 home games between June 3rd and July 27th. All of our games, you can go find them at brrougarou.com, brrougarou.com. We play any night of the week other than a Monday. Mondays our league is off. But we play 48 games in about 60 days or something like that. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's one thing. Baseball, y'all play so many games. Yeah.
It's also that kind of sport, right? Like football, you can't play a lot of games because physically it beats you up so much and you need that recovery time. But baseball is the kind of sport where the team that's better for a longer period of time is rewarded by winning the pennant or winning your conference or winning the division. And that's right. That's the right way to do it, because in baseball, you're not going to win every game. Like in football, you can go 12-0. You know, high school, you go 10-0, 15-0, 15-1. Baseball, no one's ever gone undefeated.
Right.
In college or pros. And so, you know, it's not meant to be that. So if you just judge the team on one game, it's not a correct way of judging the team. That's why three-game series in college are played.
Yeah.
That's why the College World Series 20 years ago went to a best-out-of-three series instead of just one game winner-take-all, because it's a true gauge of who's the better team.
Yeah, as long as I can remember, it was always a series. So,
right.
So it used to be a one-game winner-take-all.
Yeah, matter of fact, when Skip Bertman won his five national championships, they were all one-game winner-take-all.
I didn't even realize
back
that.
In the 90s, CBS carried the game usually about noon on that Saturday. And so you would play this double elimination tournament, and then when you got to the end, you had a bracket A, bracket B. The two winners would play one game winner take all at the end. And, you know, Coach Bertman was such a great coach, and he had a great way of motivating his team. And look, LSU won five national championships, and LSU didn't always have the best team, but yet they still won those. Like that 96 Miami team, the Warren Morris home run, that team was probably better. That whole team was probably better than LSU, but LSU won the big game when it mattered most. 93, some could argue that Wichita State was a better team than LSU in that final game, but then Brett Laxton had the game of his life and struck out 16 people,
right.
And LSU won 8-0. And so there's, you know, Stanford in 2000, Skip's last one, the Ryan Terrio base hit that scored Brad Cressy base hit that scored Terrio. Stanford was winning 5-0 in that game.
And I remember all those games.
And had two first-round picks as their starting pitchers and lost. And so LSU wasn't the better team, but they were the better team that day.
Right.
And that's the thing, that's the greatness of Skip Bertman, was that he was able to get his guys playing their best baseball at the end of the season and postseason.
Yeah.
And he did that better than any other coach in history.
Which, yeah, I want to kind of transition to that, because that's something I'm always super intrigued by, is great coaches. You know, as a business owner, we're trying to coach our employees or coach our people up, and I always found former athletes seem to translate really well into business and sales. As someone who got to really play under Skip Bertman in his peak, like, what things would you say, like, you learned that were just really valuable that you still to this day, probably principles or things that you picked up from Skip being on his teams? Because being under a legendary coach like that, I'm sure you had to learn a lot.
Well, there's a couple things. One, pay attention to detail. Like, Skip was a attention to detail guy. Everything mattered. Like, all the little things add up to big things. And he used to use the analogy of bullets in your holster, right?
Okay.
Like, imagine you got a belt, a holster full of bullets, and if I've got 32 bullets in my holster and my competitor has 24 bullets in his holster, law of averages say over time I'm going to win a lot more than he is or she is, because I've got more bullets. What did bullets represent? Bullets represented, for us in baseball at the time, ways to win, right? Like, we can do more things and do them well. And it might be little things like how to execute a proper bunt defense, right? But multiple ways to do that bunt defense. Well, each of those ways is a bullet.
Yeah.
But the other team only can run one bunt defense, and we can run three properly. Well, then that's three bullets, that's two more bullets they don't have, right?
Right.
And those things add up. So attention to detail. The other thing he always talked about was HWA, how to win awareness, right?
Okay.
You know, always, you know, how to be thinking ahead, looking ahead, trying to see what's coming around the corner, trying to don't wait and react, try to get out in front of things. And then the other one, which was one of my favorites, he would always say, and this is probably the one thing I took with me the most out of all of these things, and that is he would say, baseball, you know, Skip would say, you know, baseball and, you know, is not the nation's, baseball and apple pie is not the nation's pastime like everybody says it is.
Okay.
The nation's pastime is really TOB. And of course, everybody's like, you know, what is TOB? And he'd say, transferal of blame, you know. And And he would say, you know, see, let me give you an example. I made an F in that class. Well, the teacher screwed me. You know, I really didn't get an F. Teacher screwed. Oh, I struck out. Well, the umpire got it wrong. You know, like, you transfer the blame to other people all the time. And basically, he was saying, you know, own it. Don't do that, you know. And I would say that's probably, of all the little things, the TOB is probably the one that I feel like I've done the best job at, is not blaming other people for my shortcomings, you know, taking it on myself and trying to do my best, right?
Well, I find usually when people are wrong or make it, I call it deflection. I hate deflection.
Right.
It's like one of my biggest pet peeves. When any of my employees, anyone does it, it irks the shit out. And probably
right.
Skip too.
Right.
Like,
right.
And I remember it was a coach, like, one. It was own your shit.
Right.
Like, he would say that. And, right. And like, that's so true. And most people make so many excuses instead of inner reflection and right. How do they improve from it.
Yeah, no, that's very much the case. And he was the best. I mean, you know, Coach taught me so much. You know, I kind of watched him, and I didn't realize it at the time. And
yeah,
when you're
18, a young
19,
kid.
20, 21 years old, you're not thinking about your future. But as it turns out, I learned a lot more from him than I realized. And that's how it is with any good coach or your parents or whatever. You know, you don't appreciate them in the moment. You appreciate them later. And that's how it was with Coach. And now as a grown-up, years later, I realized so many things I picked up from him.
Right.
And appreciate him. He turned 87 on Friday, May 23rd, which is my birthday as well. So
oh,
we
cool.
share a birthday, which
oh,
is really cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
Y'all still, you ever see him?
Oh, yeah. We keep in touch. I'm going to go to lunch with him on Thursday with some people.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, he's doing well.
Do you ever catch yourself, like, saying stuff that Skip used to say? Like, you know, you sound like your parents when you get older?
All the time. And look, I do impressions of him, and a lot of people say I do the best impression of him. He says I do the best impression of him. And I'll tell stories, you know, like at lunch on Thursday, I'm sure I'll tell a story with, you know, a couple former teammates of mine, Doug Thompson, some others are going to go. And we'll tell stories, and I'll talk like him, and he loves it.
That's great.
He has a great sense of humor.
You got to. Like, I wish I had someone that could impersonate. That'd be funny to see. Like, right. It's got to be pretty funny to see someone who right. really impersonates you well.
Well, you know, it's also funny because Coach was tough. I mean, like all good coaches, he was tough. And at times, he was a son of a bitch. And, you know, we love him for it. But, he didn't, and the thing that made him so great, too, is he told you right where you were. You know, there was no BS. Yeah. You know, you didn't have to wonder or tippy-toe around and wonder what your role was or what he's thinking. He's going to let you know. And if
right.
you didn't want to, if you want to know, just ask.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate and respect, and I'm kind of that way too, as a person. And he now, though, at 87 years old, and he's a grandfather and really cool, his grandson Ezra Pate, who is a freshman, redshirted this year at a college up in Maine because he had a little knee injury,
okay.
but he's healthy now, is going to play for the Rougarou this summer.
Oh, really?
He's going to be one of our, like, 16 pitchers.
So that's the kid you said coming from Maine?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so we've got Skip Bertman's grandson playing on the Rougarou team this summer, which is a thrill for me because I love him like a father. And, you know, Coach will come out to a couple games and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm looking forward to that.
That's awesome. So you own the team.
Yeah.
Now, who's the coach?
So, believe it or not, we've had four different coaches in 4 years. And it's not that uncommon for summer ball because it's not a year-round job, right?
Sure.
You know, it's only a two-month job. Although, to be a good coach, you got to get good players, and that requires some effort year-round. But this year, we're going in a different direction with, like, a three-headed monster. So our head coach is Stephen Pate. Stephen's a young guy, only 25 years old, just got finished playing himself, was a great player, won a national championship at the University of Tampa, Division II, played at Delgado in New Orleans. He's from New Orleans, went to De La Salle High School, was a great player. And typical, like, hard worker, blue collar, you know, spends a lot of time in the weight room, you know, like, just that kind of guy, and I'm hoping that he'll impart that into our team. And then Carl LeBee is a pitching coach. He's in his late 30s. He's a travel ball coach. He does private lessons in New Orleans. He used to coach for 5 years as a pitching coach at De La Salle. And then Tim Beattie is one of our coaches. Tim's the head coach at Doyle High School here.
Okay.
Has been for 15 years. Before that was at Walker.
Yeah.
Played at Walker, played college baseball in Mississippi. Tim's probably close to 50 years old. He's an old friend of mine. He coached with me in the in the for 10 years when I coached the Marucci White Sox, which used to be a 17, 18-year-old team back in the day. And I've known Tim a long time. So he's kind of – Tim will be kind of like the glue, kind of the bench coach guy, and, you know, let the young guys ask him questions. And so I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm excited. I think these kids are going to relate to Carl and Steven with their youth, and they're both – you know, single guys are going to be living on Lodcook on LSU's campus this summer and kind of getting after it.
That's awesome. I see you light up, like you're passionate about it, you know, which is it's energizing to be around that, coming from playing, you know, and still being able to be around it. You know, it's got to be just a lot of fun as the owner and
yeah,
being
I mean,
able to.
You know, people say, well, why don't you coach? And it's like, well, first off, I don't have the time to. Our Hall of Fame induction is the last weekend in June.
Right.
So I couldn't even dream about coaching until July, and by that point, the season's halfway done. So, but I do enjoy it. And Casey McKenzie is our general manager. Casey's passionate about it. He's the reason I bought the team was because he had been involved with the team with the old owner for a year, and he convinced me to do it. And I said, I'm only do it if you're going to do it with me because, you know, I'm excited about it. I need somebody else, too. And,
right.
and we both love it. And he does a great job. And so I'm it's fun. It's fun. Now, I want to win. You know what I mean? I want to win.
Who doesn't?
Last year we were 23-21. We didn't make the playoffs. So I really hope this is the year we break through. It's year four, and I want to win a championship.
That'd be nice. I would love to see it. Like I said, I'm excited for y'all because I see how excited you get about it. And then, you know, recently we were talking, my family, we're all big MMA guys, and you pulled off something that we've been waiting to see for years. And I remember Dustin talking about he wanted to bring UFC to Lafayette.
Right.
And you guys finally, now the deal is inked. It's public knowledge now. I mean, New Orleans, Dustin Poirier,
right.
probably his farewell, you know, send off retirement
yeah,
fight.
You never say never, but he this is where he wants it to be. You know, Dustin Poirier's going to go July 19th at the Smoothie King Center. And he wants to leave his, you know, gloves in the ring after. And it probably will be his last fight, but you can't say for sure.
Yeah. So you're also the boxing commissioner.
Yeah.
I was like, where do you keep, like, how do you find the time, right?
I know, state boxing, wrestling, and really MMA chairman. It's a governor-appointed position. I took the job in February, the appointment in February of 24. So a little over a year now, year and change. The commission has seven members, representative of the state, and then there's one chairman. So it's six members and one chairman. I don't vote unless it's a tie, and then my vote cat breaks the tie. And, you know, the governor cares. You know, Landry cares about fighting. He's passionate about it. I think his son was, like, did some boxing or something,
yeah, cool.
like, growing up or whatever. So they're into the sport. They like MMA. They like boxing. They're from New Iberia. They know the Poiriers. Jimmy Poirier, Dustin's brother, is my vice chair.
Okay.
And so, like, you know, he wanted to change up the board. We kept two board members from the previous commission.
Yeah.
And he wanted some new blood, and he knew that you know, was in sports and knew how to kind of do this and, you know, through running a nonprofit, the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame Foundation and all that. And so it's been interesting. It's been a learning curve because I didn't grow up a big MMA boxing wrestling fan. I you know, had my moments, you know, went to some of each, but
right.
didn't really, you know, there wasn't football, baseball, basketball is my thing.
Yeah.
And I've grown to appreciate it tremendously and respect the heck out of the people in the sport. And Louisiana's got a lot of people that love MMA. Boxing's, you know, had been down. It's coming back. We just did a few events this past year for the first time in a couple of years with professional boxing in Louisiana.
I missed the casino at the atrium
yeah.
when they had them at the Bell.
Yeah,
they used
back,
to have some good boxing
20 years
back
ago,
then.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
when
the,
I was
the Black Rhino fought over there back
I,
in the
I
day.
I saw all his fights over there.
Yeah.
And when I was boxing, I used to go to every fight locally.
Yeah.
Like, it was so much fun to watch.
You know, people just prefer MMA, and
I'm one who went from boxing, and there's the personalities are a little lacking, I find, in
right.
boxing now. You don't
right.
have as much exciting personalities, and MMA is more fun to watch right now.
Well, the thing about MMA is you don't really have to have a personality. You know, it helps if you do, you know, market yourself, and probably and definitely creates more juice, but you don't have to because you can let your actions, if you're a badass in the ring and you knock somebody out in 1 minute,
Yes, sir.
You're going to earn respect, even if you're not the, you know, wild and crazy, and you're not, you know, and doing all kind of shenanigans. But in boxing, it's almost like you have to do the shenanigans. You can't just be a boring technician.
Yeah.
And outpoint somebody 113, 112, and get the juice. Like you, so I think MMA allows people to just be a fighter if you just want to be a fighter.
Right.
And you can still be a superstar just being a fighter.
Yeah. Yeah, look at Alec. I mean, at Pereira, he's pretty low-key. He doesn't talk a lot.
And even Dustin, right?
Dustin's very chill.
I mean, Dustin's famous, and he's been around a long time. So now, especially in Louisiana, and he's gotten more juice just because he's created a fan base over his years of being just a good dude.
Yeah, all around.
Who's got a lot of heart and toughness. But he's not, like, out there creating controversy and saying crazy things or doing crazy things like a Conor McGregor or something like that. And so, and he's still making a great living, and he's a champion.
Oh, he's a class act. I remember when he beat McGregor the first time, and a buddy of mine was on the plane with him coming back. He goes, guess who's behind me? I go, I used to train with Dustin back in the day. I was like, FaceTime me. I FaceTimed him, and he handed Dustin a, he's like, oh, what's up, man? He's so cool. I hadn't seen him in 15 plus years since the Gladiators Academy days.
Right.
But he was like, I go, would you mind saying hey to my son? My little boy still talks about it to this day. He's like, oh, yeah, I got to FaceTime Poirier. Like, dude, he's just a class act. First class. Yeah. And I'm excited. I can't wait to go to the fight. Like, that place is going to be electric. When I told my sons we're going to the fights, they're like, are you serious? Let's go. Right. You know, like, I mean, exclamation points all over the phone.
Yeah, so Saturday, excited. July 19th. Looking forward to it, man. They haven't had a UFC fight in 10 years.
I can't remember the last one here. Yeah,
it's going to be great. 10 years, so looking forward to it.
So as the boxing commissioner, like these positions, like the Hall of Fame, box, do you get paid for these? Or
Okay.
I was like, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Hall of Fame is a full-time job. The boxing commission, you know, we get a stipend and a salary, obviously not very big.
Yeah.
That's kind of hard to say no to the governor, you know.
That's something,
Hey, you got free time? Not really. Oh, well, I'd like for you to do this. Okay. You know.
You make time for stuff like that.
Yeah, but, and then obviously the Rougarou, it's a company, it's a business.
Yeah.
Although it's a labor of love. I mean, I'm not doing it to get rich, but I'm also not doing it to lose money either.
Right.
And then. You know, like this past week, I just did 15 games for the Sun Belt Conference. So we had the Sun Belt Conference Championships. We're in Montgomery, Alabama.
You're announcing them?
I'm a color analyst. I did 15 games for those. And so, I mean, I do a bunch of different things. My CPA loves me because I got a bunch of 1099s, man.
I know. I just wrote a five-figure check to my CPA for tax prep.
Right.
You know, like...
Right.
I can imagine how your tax prep must be for that many different
it's
entities
a little all
and
over
stuff.
The place.
Oh my God. It's
not fun.
Yeah. But it's a good problem to have.
Right.
So, I mean, you got Jumbo Sports still. I mean, you've got your hands on
a lot. Yeah, you know,
of
we
things.
I started Jumbo Sports Network back in 1998, fall of 97. Our first year doing LSU baseball games was 1998. And then. When the, you know, we morphed, when CST, Cox Sports Television, was around, we kind of partnered with them on a lot of events and a lot of entities. And then when the SEC Network came around about 10, 11 years ago, that changed the landscape of sports because then that CST, you know, basically ESPN gobbled up all the rights to everything. And so the way the rights work is if, let's just say LSU baseball is playing at Nichols on Tuesday night. Well, Nichols has a Southland Conference television partnership with, guess who? ESPN. And so ESPN has that app, ESPN Plus, on your phone.
I had to
you
buy
pay,
it.
You pay $19 a month or whatever you pay.
I had
pay.
To buy
it's
it to watch
up.
UFC.
Yeah. So you pay, and well, if you want to watch LSU at Nichols, you got to get it on that app. And you know, so even if they carry the game or not, they have the rights. And so we kind of got into high school and did a lot of things. So nowadays, Jumbo Sports Network is not really a thing anymore. I have a business, Jumbo Entertainment, LLC, which is our Hall of Fame, which is our Rougarou. And then I have Jumbo Fundraising Company, which is a kind of a catch-all for all my broadcasting, my radio shows, Sports Charts Radio, which I do on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon on ESPN Radio and Lake Charles, Lafayette, and Baton Rouge. And so it's kind of a catch-all for that. And every once in a while, we'll do some production with television.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was just telling Trey before the show, like, I don't watch near as much anything as I used to. And part of it is you got to have a different streaming platform.
Oh, like, it's tough.
Like the other day, it was Thursday night. I wanted to watch Thursday night football during NFL season. And I'm like, oh, you got to have, I think, Amazon Prime now for that, and then something else, ESPN Plus for Monday, maybe. And I was just like, you got to buy every different platform to watch the games you want to watch anymore.
I'm really curious to see what happens because cable is kind of dying, right? Everybody's cutting the cord, and cable's only going up in price because they got to go up because they're losing customers. And then, but yet, you got a million apps. So I'm curious to see what the next phase is. Is there some sort of app that you know that's like cable? You get that app and you can connect things, and there's some savings there.
There needs to be.
Even if there isn't savings, there needs to be one app that I can go to and get everything, as opposed to like having 73 apps.
Yeah,
you know, that's the thing that's aggravating.
That's it. That's what got me. Is I was just like I'd get aggravated. I'm like, all right, I'm just not watching the game. Like, I can't find it.
Right.
Cool. So yeah. That could be the new Jumbo Sports app platform. Yeah. There's your retirement plan.
Catch all app.
Your billion dollar idea right there. Jumbo Sports app for all
Somebody
sports.
Somebody out there wants to run with it first. Go ahead, because it's going to be a minute before I do it.
You got your hands in a lot, I tell you, man. I'm proud of you. I love watching and seeing you succeed and do well, you know, and it's good to see good people and good things happening. You know, it really is. And
well, I'm blessed because I do everything that I enjoy.
Right.
You know, God bless the guy that goes to work and pulls the lever at the factory and puts on the overalls and grinds for 30 years for that retirement. And he's not loving it, but he knows the back end of life is good for it. And he's taking care of his family and he's doing it. I don't have that. I get to do something that some people call work. I call work, but it's not. Some of these things are things I would be doing if they paid me a lot less, but just don't tell them. And so that's pretty cool.
It is. I mean, you get to, like you said, I mean, you're around sports, baseball, I mean, things you're passionate about. You know, like you said, kind of living the dream, you know, for a lot of people. Like, that's an awesome way of
being. And we're here at the ESPN Bet Sportsbook. That's what that big E is behind us there. And this was my home for 4 years. So we're inside the LeBaer's Casino here at Baton Rouge. It opened in 2012. And for the first 4 years, I was involved with player development.
Really?
Working with Bubba Willis and Kim Ginn, who runs the place. Mickey Parenton was the VP then, who really is the reason I got involved. Mickey was building this place and got me involved. So for the first 4 years that we were open, I worked here full-time in player development. And I loved it. Great group. Sean Malone, Bubba Willis, Kim Ginn, Mickey Parenton, they're like family. I still am involved with LeBaer's. I MC like their VIP events. I'll be here this Saturday night, I think, giving away a car or something. So they usually have me once every couple months MCing events here, and they sponsor a lot of the things that I'm involved in. So it's a great place, and it's a folks are always wondering, hey, where to go to watch a game? You know, I want to go in a cool environment. The sports book's pretty cool.
It's awesome. Like now, can you go in the restaurant with someone who's under 21?
Yes. So we're in the sports book. Yeah, we're in the sports book side. So the only way to get into the sports book is you have to be 21. You got to go on the casino floor to get in. But on the ESPN Grill side, which
you can bring a family.
Yeah, anybody can go.
See, that's cool because, like you said, I mean, what better setup to watch a game than here?
Right. Absolutely.
This is first class, and the food's great.
Food's really good.
So
really good.
Now, I definitely, like, when you mentioned doing the show here, I was like, that's a great idea. I was like, that's cool.
Yeah, we actually, right where we're sitting, this is where we do our radio show twice a month on Sports Shorts Radio, Saturday mornings, 10 to noon, on ESPN Lake Charles Lafayette and Baton Rouge. And myself, Tommy Chrysan, Hunter McCann, Joel Davis. And then we'll have Derry Beckwith joins us during football season. He does 6 months during football season. But we've been doing that show for 15 years. I've been doing that for 15 years, man.
Right.
And we're here at LeBaer's twice a week. It's great.
That's where I first, you know, Chad Bluen one day, like, had me sponsor, like, ads on his show.
Right.
And then we got to talking, and then he's like, yeah, you want to come co-host the show? And I go, I've never hosted a I was like, sure, let's do it. And it was so much fun. Yeah. And
it's just putting a microphone on a table and talking sports with your buddies. I mean, that's all it is.
Yeah, I told him, I said, that was so much fun. I was like, anytime you want a co-host, like when he used to have a show, I was like, that was a blast, you know? And then, you know, it's like years later doing my podcast and stuff, and my wife always jokes, she's like, well, you could run your mouth all day.
So, you definitely, if you're going to do a 1 or 2 hour sports talk show or a talk show of any kind, you got to be a talkative dude.
We always laugh, but you know, I was listening to Joe Rogan, and he does 2-3 hour segments. I mean, like, it's fun. Like when you're with good guests, I know, and you've probably seen this with your shows too. Like when I've got a good guest, a lot of times that hadn't been on the radio, they're nervous, and then when we're firing and getting them going and asking the questions, they'll go, "Oh my God, that was an hour!"
Right.
And the time flies. Like, right. it just goes by so quick.
Well, you know, and I've been doing sports talk radio since the fall of 1996. I was 24 years old. Just got done in minor league baseball. I'd had my second surgery in 2 years on my arm. Came back, and John Cimino, had a show called Around the Horn. And it was on 1210 AM WBIU.
Or 1210.
Which used to be an antenna in Denham Springs attached to the 96.1 The River. And it was an independent. And the 1210's not there anymore. The tower got blown down on one of the storms a few years ago. And it was a 1,000-watt AM station, which meant if you were at the corner of, like, Lee and Highland, kind of near LSU's campus, you probably couldn't get it. Or it was staticky, right? That's how bad the antenna was. And we had a show, and he said, he needed a co-host, and I just moved back. I wanted to get into the sports talk. He brought me on, and John was a funny dude. He's a sheriff's officer now. He's a funny dude, and I enjoyed the heck out of it. It was a learn. We were basically doing the show kind of in a closet. Like, it was crazy stories. And I learned a lot, and it was really cool experience, and that's how I cut my teeth. And then at one point I was doing daily sports talk show, 2-3 hours a day for years, and then you know, a lot of TV mostly, but I enjoy the Saturday radio 2-hour deal. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, especially like you said, it's like talking sports with your buddies and
yeah, I tell people, I said, look, don't tune in for serious sports talk, you know, like
stats.
Dude, listen to Matt Moscona if you want the real deal award-winning sports talk shows. Like, we're a bunch of clowns.
Like a statistician. Like, he's...
Yeah, I mean, that's the real deal. I mean, it's what he does for a living, 24-7. The guy's the best. And but, like, you know, we kind of wing it. We just talk about a lot of different things, have our own opinions, tell stories. You know, we'll have guests. I mean, it's a lot more casual.
Right.
And so if you're tuning in expecting that level, the Matt Moscona level, I apologize. I'm sorry. But we have a lot of fun.
Shout out to Matt, man.
Yeah,
Matt,
absolutely.
We had fun. I had Matt on the show a couple times when we were in Talk 107.3. And that was fun being on the radio
there.
He's
the best.
Yeah. He is. He's great. Him and Ryan Terrio, always good guests on the show. And you've been amazing. I really appreciate you coming
on. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Taking the time.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
On a Monday, Memorial Day Monday. Again, like he said earlier, appreciation to all our veterans out there, that you guys don't get enough love for what you do and what you sacrifice, and all our listeners and all of Ronnie's fans out there. We thank you guys from the bottom of our hearts, and y'all have a blessed Memorial Day.